We looked up and there was a plane. Next thing you know, we heard boom. We ran up to the corner and hit right into the World Trade Center.
Can you tell us what kind of an airplane is it?
It had to be a 737 that had to hit the World Trade Center. It was a big, big plane.
You need to take a break.
Okay, and what do you see at this point?
Oh, smoke and screaming and, screaming engines and all the fire engines and police departments are all traveling down that way. Oh, my God almighty, the black smoke all over the place. I hope nobody, there's got to be somebody killed in it. Four people that went to work.
Well, Tony, we don't have any confirmation from any officials of this happening. Just repeat again, you were just going outside.
I was bringing the garbage out to the freight engine. When we heard this roaring engine. We looked up and there was a plane. Next thing we know, in a matter of seconds, we heard a boom. We went to the corner and there it was, right in the middle of the World Trade Center.
Where are you standing right now, Tony?
I'm right in the building right now.
Okay, and what do you see at this point?
Oh, people all staring up there, looking at it. Oh, my God, the smoke is coming out. Black billow smoke.
Okay, you can see we are physically looking at one of our sky cams right now. We can see billowing smoke from the top of the World Trade Center, Tony.
Yeah.
Are there other people that are around you at this point? Is everybody in pretty much of a state of shock?
Oh, of course they are. People are all in shock. The people in the building are in shock going out. My God almighty, this is a...
Winston, can you see? Are you on the north side there where the plane made contact?
Yes, I am.
There where the plane made contact?
But I'd say the hole is, let me just get a better look right now.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd say the hole takes about, looks like 6-7 floors were taken out. And there's more explosions right now. Hold on, people are rushing.
Winston, hold on just a moment. We've got an explosion inside.
The building's exploding right now. You got people running up the street.
Okay.
Hold on, I'll tell you what's going on.
Okay, just put Winston on pause there for just a moment. Okay.
The building's exploding right now. You got people running up the street.
Okay.
Hold on, I'll tell you what's going on.
Okay, just put Winston on pause there for just a moment.
Okay. I understand Teresa Renault is with us right now. Ms. Renault, good morning.
Good morning. How
this
are
is,
you?
This is Bryant Gumbel. I'm down on 59th and 5th. Where are you?
I am in Chelsea, and we are at 8th and 16th. We are the tallest building in the area, and my window faces south, so it looks directly onto the World Trade Center. And I would say, you know, approximately 10 minutes ago, there was a major explosion from probably, it looks like about the 80th floor. It looks like it's affected probably 4 to 8 floors. Major flames are coming out of the north side and also the east side of the building. Yes.
You're over in Chelsea. Did you hear the explosion from your position?
Yes, we did. As a matter of fact, we heard it and because I was just like standing there pretty much looking out the window. I didn't see what caused it or if there was an impact.
So you have no idea right
now?
Oh,
there's another one. Another plane just hit. Right? Oh, my God. Another plane has just hit. It hit another building. Flew right into the middle of it. Explosion.
Wow.
as you look at the picture from our chopper now arriving at the scene, Jim Friedel in Hoboken said it appeared to back sharply.
We looked up and there was a plane. Next thing you know, we heard boom. We ran up to the corner and hit right into the World Trade Center.
Can you tell us what kind of an airplane is it?
It had to be a 737 that had to hit the World Trade Center. It was a big, big plane.
You need to take a break.
Okay, and what do you see at this point?
Oh, smoke and screaming and, screaming engines and all the fire engines and police departments are all traveling down that way. Oh, my God almighty, the black smoke all over the place. I hope nobody, there's got to be somebody killed in it. I hope people that went to work.
Tony, we don't have any confirmation from any officials of this happening. Just repeat again, you were walking, you were just going outside.
I was bringing the garbage out to the freight engine. When we heard this roaring engine, we looked up and there was the plane. Next thing we know, in a matter of seconds, we heard a boom. We went to the corner and there it was, right in the middle of the World Trade Center.
Where are you standing right now, Tony?
I'm right in the building right now.
Okay, and what do you see at this point?
Oh, people all staring up there, looking at it all. Oh my God, the smoke is coming out, black billow smoke.
Okay, you can see we are physically looking at one of our sky cams right now. We can see billowing smoke from the top of the World Trade Center, Tony.
Yeah.
Are there other people that are around you at this point? Is everybody in pretty much of a state of shock?
Oh, of course they are. People are all in shock. The people in the building are in shock going out. My God almighty, this is a real disaster. This is worse than the one that hit the Empire State Building back in 1939 or 38, whenever that was.
Tony, how long ago did you witness this happening?
Oh, come on, 10 minutes ago.
10 minutes ago?
That's about all.
Alrighty, guys. Wow, what a big day it is. It is Saturday, September 11th, 2021. It is just after 11. I should have waited till 9 minutes after 11, but I just couldn't stand it any longer, because not only do we have the movie September Clues playing in the background and the fantastic soundtrack, first track, Take a Break, not only do we have those two things, we also have the absolute third element to complete this triad, and we have the great Simon Shack live from Rome, Italy, on the line. Simon, are you there?
Hello, guys.
Wow, this is an exciting day for me. Mainly because I get to speak to you. As you know, I am a unabashed fan of yours from 9 years. And still going strong. No one has really disputed your evidence. No one has really created anything better than September Clues that I can think of.
Well, you're more than a fan. You've been helping out quite a lot these years, so I'm very thankful.
I'm called a super fan. Even if you didn't even like me, I would still promote it, because there's nothing better that really explains your movie, your music, your forums are really the top of the heap. There's nothing better.
Well, thanks so much, but I also want to thank you for your fake YouTube, which have saved the day for me lately, because they keep deleting my various versions of the main movie, September Clues, in various languages. You know, it's been translated in 12 languages.
Yeah.
But very luckily, I've been digging to find, because it's a shame. I don't have all these versions on my own hard disk, because they are mostly on a friend called David in Italy, which I lost touch with lately. So I don't have them available. So I had to find, but actually it's better, because I found other people, like a Korean guy who's put it up in excellent quality on his site. And he's been writing about it in Korean. So it's even better for the Korean public. Same with the Russian version. It's now linked on my website to another Russian guy who's linked the Russian version, etc. And the Slovak as well. So it's actually better, because instead of just always being sent to YouTube, the people are getting sent to websites of their own language with comments in their own language. So it's good.
Cool. Simon, I just realized I forgot to press the start button on the video. We have the audio captured, but now that I screwed up, let me start it one more time, which will be fine. Sorry about that. I just noticed that I got too many things on the go. So let me start it again for the video.
Okay.
I'm going to end the stream and restart the stream. One moment. Una momenta. I screwed up. But I had the audio going, so we got all this audio, but if anyone, no one's actually tuned in right this second, so let me just restart it.
Yes.
Ah, that sucks. That's okay. We had to test your audio anyway.
So are we starting from scratch?
I'll start it from scratch, but I won't spend as much time on the audio part. Or on the video part. I'll just play the first minute of September Clues. That's how I'll start it. So just bear with it. I'm sorry about that. But I'm going to save this audio. I'm not going to delete any of the beginning audio. Just the video that has to be restarted. This is mainly an audio broadcast anyway.
Sure.
So we are going to. I'm just going to mute you for one sec. So you'll be able to hear it, but you won't be able to talk. And I'm going to mute myself. Yeah. So here we go.
Winston, can you see? Are you on the north side there, where the plane made contact?
Yes, I am.
There, where the plane made contact.
But I'd say the hold is. Let me just get a better look right now.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd say the hold takes about. Looks like 6-7 floors were taken out, and there's more explosions right now. Hold on, people are running.
Winston, hold on just a moment. We got an explosion inside.
We looked up and there was a plane. Next thing you know, we heard boom. We ran up to the corner and hit right into the World Trade Center.
Can you tell us what kind of an airplane is it?
It had to be a 737 that had to hit the World Trade Center. It was a big, big plane.
You need to take a break.
Okay, and what do you see at this point?
Oh, smoke and screaming and screaming engines and all the fire engines and police departments are all traveling down that way. Oh my God almighty, the black smoke all over the place. I hope nobody, there's got to be somebody killed in it. Poor people, I went to work.
Well, Tony, we don't have any confirmation from any officials of this happening. Just repeat again, you were walking, you were just going outside.
I was bringing the garbage out to the train entrance when we heard this roaring engine. We looked up and there was a plane. Next thing we know, in a matter of seconds, we heard a boom. We went to the corner and there it was, right in the middle of the World Trade Center.
Where are you standing right now, Tony?
I'm right in the building right now.
Okay, and what do you see at this point?
Oh, people all staring up there, looking at us all. Oh my God, the smoke is coming out, black billow smoke.
Okay, you can see we are physically looking at one of our sky cams right now. We can see billowing smoke from the top of the World Trade Center, Tony.
Yeah.
Are there other people that are around you at this point? Is everybody in pretty much of a state of shock?
Oh, of course they are. People are all in shock. The people in the building are in shock, going out. My God almighty, this is a real disaster. This is worse than the one that hit the Empire State Building back in 1939 or 38, whenever that was.
Tony, how long ago did you witness this happening?
Oh, come on, 10 minutes ago.
10 minutes ago?
That's about all.
You need to take a break.
The black smoke all over the place.
Alrighty, here we go. It is 9/11/2021. It is 11:11 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. This is the Fakeologist Show. This is our 9/11 20th anniversary edition. On the screen, you're looking at September Clues, the seminal video movie that describes the hoax that was 9/11. In the background, you're hearing the soundtrack of September Clues, the title. The first track, called Take a Break, it's performed by Simon Shack and his social service band. And to complete this triad, we have the one, the only, possibly the most infamous, not known person in the entire world that has helped crack the case of 9/11, Simon Shack himself on the line. And Simon, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Ab. So glad to be here. And happy anniversary to everyone.
Is it, though? Is it a happy anniversary?
Yeah. I just realized, well, I just remembered that, you know, the guy we heard at the beginning of Take a Break?
Yes.
Soundtrack? Guy, you know, says, oh, lots of smoke. And you know, he is supposed to be a garbage man. So, isn't it funny? So you have to imagine then, you know, that the big TV networks of America, they had this garbage man to interview as, you know, a first-hand witness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a bit of a joke, you know, the garbage man explaining what happened that morning. He was the first guy on air, I guess. So it's so many funny things you discover of the years, even though I've seen this, of course, this I've heard these stories so many times. But they must have had fun, you know, putting together this movie, which they aired on TV. Really.
Yeah, it was. Was it a 102-minute movie officially? Is that a number that was said anywhere, or did somebody calculate that, or is that a real number at all that we worked out that's about how long the show was?
Well, yes, it's 102 minutes is considered the full the time span in which everything played out, and they even made an official documentary called 102 Minutes.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
No, I'm struggling to remember now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to look that one up because I don't remember that.
It was History Channel. History Channel had 102 Minutes. It was called 102 Minutes, and of course it includes all the best clips they had, and it's worth watching. That was one of the material I used. Some of that I used, I think, in the film.
Well, here's the
a
promo.
Documentary made from the footage of 100 eyewitnesses who grabbed their video cameras to record an event.
There you go.
That would
this clip
history.
Is 1 minute and 1 second.
From the moment the first plane struck, 102 minutes in real time.
Oh yeah.
Got the screams.
No scripts. No reenactments.
No scripts. No reenactments.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I just saw that. Jesus Christ.
There were two?
Another one just hit it.
Real people and what they captured on camera as it happened.
The smell of burning wire and metal.
Shut the
window,
shut the
real people.
A unique historical record of a pivotal moment in modern history.
It is Tuesday morning, the 11th of September, and you will not forget this date.
Witness to 9/11, 102 minutes that changed America. Friday, 7:30 on History.
That sounds like an Australian accent. There are no Americans that can do promos anymore. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, well, shall we do a quick and brief recap of what, I mean, newcomers to this research maybe have never heard?
We can do that, or we can start off with your one of my favorite parts about Simon Schack is the way you write. The way, and this is true, and I've said this before for many foreign language people, although you speak many tongues, you write many tongues, but most people can write better than they can speak unless it's their native language. And your writing is not only flawless, it's grammatically correct, the spelling's always right, and you have such a way with words that I don't care what you write about, I always read from beginning to end, because you're a great writer.
Thank you.
And I've said that to you many times. It almost seems like...
Best.
Yes, I don't know how much time you spend on writing, but when you write a piece for your forum, it's always fantastic. So if you don't mind, I would like to read your post that you made today called 20 Years On.
Mm-hmm.
And you even mentioned an article that I never heard of before in it that I guess was from way back.
Okay. And let me say, I really appreciate when you read my stuff because I don't really pronounce English as well as I write it, I think.
Yeah, and if people don't know who you are a man in your 50s, I believe. Like I am, and you live in Rome, Italy.
Yes.
And your native tongue, would you say Italian is now your native tongue?
Well, I was born in Sweden, okay?
Right.
Stockholm. But I've been almost half of my life now in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So Italy is, I learned Italian when I was like 5 or 6.
Okay.
Because I lived in Sicily as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then we traveled quite a few different places, and so I learned French, and then I went to Africa as well. I was 5 or 6 years in the UK. So that's where I really, learned to write English better, because you don't really learn English at school as well, abroad. So it was after 5 or 6 years in England, I think I became a decent writer in English.
So let me read. So, okay, but your best language is probably Italian right now because you've been doing it for half your life. Even though you're Norwegian, you're Swedish, you're quite the compilation of European. But right now I'll call you Italian because you do have an Italian accent, I think, for sure. Or maybe a Roman.
Really?
Maybe a Roman accent. I don't know. I don't know very many Italians.
Really?
When I
speak Italian, Italians say I have a Roman accent now, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I've been in Rome so many years.
So your post is 20 years on. Okay, folks, so here we are. 20 years ago, we were all traumatized by the terror attack, which allegedly killed some 3,000 people in the U.S. of A. Today, we are all traumatized by the invisible terror virus that has supposedly killed 4.5 million people around the world. Yet, most people still fall for these blatant mega psyops, clearly designed to instill and uphold fear and anguish among the general public. Of course, the difference between the 9/11 PSYOP and the COVID-19 PSYOP is that the latter has made a quantum leap in depriving people of their natural, God-given liberties. In hindsight, we can now see that the 9/11 PSYOP, what with its subsequent Patriot Act restrictions, was a mere test of the public's gullibility in preparation for the big one, i.e., the COVID-19 terror deception, which is now currently affecting the lives and livelihoods of all the inhabitants of this planet. On 9/11, we were told that the evil terrorists were anti-West Muslim extremists who hated our modern way of life. Today, with the COVID-19 PSYOP, we're being told that the evil terrorists are those anti-vax extremists who hate our modern science. To be sure, the fact that most people failed to comprehend the 9/11 PSYOP, what with its 3,000 or so fake victims, has facilitated the public's acceptance of large numbers of alleged COVID-19 victims around the world. Yet we have all seen that in every nation struck by the COVID-19 plague, those numbers were artificially contrived, inflated by the HWO in connivance with the various local national health authorities by means of a very simple subterfuge. All those who normally died every year with influenza complications were just labeled as COVID-19 victims. In fact, between 2019 and 2021, the world statistics of influenza mortality almost dropped to zero. On top of that, the all-important initial COVID-19 mortality rates may well have been boosted by some massive flu vaccine campaigns carried out in the autumn winter of 2019, such as, for instance, in northern Italy. In any case, in view of recent developments, what with people of all ages dying like flies after the jabs, there can be no more doubt about the toxic nature of the various experimental broths inoculated into this hapless world's population. But back to the topic of the day, 9/11. As our collective research here at Clues Forum established back in 2010 or so, that no one was killed in that terror attack, I was contacted by an American journalist, Ersan Warnick, as Salem of Salem News. At the time, I was, of course, a bit wary of talking to American journalists, but I decided nonetheless to give it a go, and luckily so. It turned out that Ersan was an exceptionally honest and diligent journal, as he spent serious time cross-verifying the SSDI research we had performed here at Clues Forum, showing that the SSDI had no or few records of the alleged 9/11 casualties. Here is a link to that great and memorable Salem News article of September 12, 2010. You may also wish to check out the wonderful comments under that article. Here is a link to my selection of most supportive comments, my favorite one being, September Clues is the most important film of the 21st century. Its conclusions are earth-shattering. It brings viewers face-to-face with a conspiracy too monstrous to conceive. Simon Shack nailed it. His nails are galvanized. Watch and weep for your lost innocence. By Marshall Law. Great name, by the way. Marshall Law said that. Happy 20th anniversary, yeah. Folks. Yeah. We sure did a fine job nailing the silly 9/11 hoax. Let's get on nailing this pathetic COVID-19 scam. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's quite
I
a...
Go
ahead.
Sorry. No, I have to say I was surprised to see... I went back to that article of Salem News last night. I hadn't done that for a while. And I was pleased to see how many positive comments there were now. And I hadn't followed the comments for a while. So it's I almost feel like nostalgic of those times because it seemed that there was more interest than there is now in our research, especially the VIXIM research. Mm-hmm. And there are quite some supportive comments in this list where we're looking at now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is not exactly the case today. So, you know, it's a bit sad that I was, of course, hoping it will grow and really, you know, hopefully become common knowledge that no one died on 9/11. Because that would have been really, really good for people to understand that they are able to just make up fictitious people, and which is what they did for the COVID-19 experiment.
What was your first clue that 9/11 victims may have been simulated? Because that would be the last place that anyone would look to investigate.
Well, it was a natural thought which occurred to me and Max, you know, Max Hoipoloi,
mm-hmm.
when he was here, I think, in 2009, because we had discovered that the planes never existed. I mean, Max even made a FOIA act asking for, you remember he did a FOIA? Asking for, he made a FOIA to the FAA.
Okay.
And he asked the FAA for all the planes that had departed from the three airports, you know, Boston, New York, and Dulles, Washington, for the days 10, 11, and 12 September. So we covered the 3 days. He wanted the data that all planes have. They have two data that they must have. It's taxi off when the airplane leaves the airport hub, mm-hmm. and wheels off when the plane actually detaches from the ground. And all planes in the world have these numbers, you know, when the actual times that this happens for every plane. So he waited for months. It took a long time. And he got some phone calls even from the FAA, the guy there serving his request.
All right.
And Max said, "Well, why is it taking so long? And why don't you just send me a pen, a digital pen with the data?" And the guy said, "No, that's against the law. We can't send anything digital. We have to send you paperwork." So, in fact, finally, a huge 600 pages, A4 pages, arrived in Max's address. Max received the postman with a huge pack of 600 pages, which he had to go through. And, of course, being very patient, he did so and did not find one of the four alleged planes of 9/11.
Wow.
Which means... it is game over for the existence of the planes. If the planes don't exist bureaucratically, they have not existed.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that stands today?
No flight 11, no flight 11, no flight 175, no flight 93, and no flight 77.
Do you think they changed that over the years, or do you think that still stands? If someone did a FOIA today, they'd find out the same thing.
Well, Max has the data in his house, I think, still. So,
right.
Okay, they can change it, of course. But right. I haven't been back checking or...
Did you post that exact FOIA anywhere, any of the pages?
On the forum, yeah.
Okay.
We explained that, didn't we? Sure.
Okay, it's on there. Okay. Yeah, you've got all that. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, we did some really, interesting moves at the time, I think. I mean, that should have been, that should have exploded, all over the internet, but it didn't. Unfortunately, we managed to crush that information.
So honestly, that should have been a video. Someone should have made a video to that exact thing that you just said. That's very honestly. That was never highlighted in my own mind. We just sort of moved on from that idea because that's sort of but that is the main the main
you're
thing.
Right. We should have followed it up
now,
better.
I'll give you a comparison with COVIDs right now. There's a woman named Christine Massey who lives in my neck of the woods, and she has compiled all the FOIAs, including her own, around the world to get proof that COVID-19, the virus, has been isolated. She's up to over 100 FOIAs from around the world that she's compiled on her website.
Yep.
And nobody knows about her. And I know about, I'm on her email list because all her social media has been deleted. So luckily she got my email, so I get it. But that's very similar. So it's not news. Nobody is listening. It's not blowing up in the same way. So we should not be surprised that your FOIA really did not become a huge issue either.
Right. No, of course. But, you asked me the question, how did we start thinking that nobody died? That was because the planes didn't exist. So there were no passengers, first of all. There could not have been passengers in non-existent planes. So naturally, we started thinking, but then what about the people in the towers then? And so we started looking up the memorials, 9/11 memorials, where you had all these people listed with their portraits. And there was, at the time, there were many memorials, the CNN memorial, the official one from Ground Zero, the Fox Memorial, et cetera, and the Americans and something memorial. And we compared the memorials, which all listed these approximately 2,500 or 3,000 casualties. But there were enormous discrepancies. There were, like, I think, 600 people that were on one memorial and were missing on the other.
Wow.
And I remember very well at the time, while we were doing this, checking the memorials, some of them just bang, disappeared. And they said, oh, we have had to close this memorial because of abusive comments.
Oh, God.
So they started closing some of them, but many remained. So we used the remaining ones to show that, well, that, as you know, firstly, that they all look very, very, they were really bad portraits. I would say 60-70% were really so grainy and absolutely abusive.
Mm-hmm. And there were digital cameras in the day. There were digital cameras back in 2000.
Yeah, I mean, no family would have such a bad picture of their loved one and send it to.
You would give your best picture, and if there's someone in their adult, in the adult ages, you would have found a couple of pictures, most likely even within the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that was already a bit, suspicious. But then we found so many other aberrations. There were photoshopped the same exact portrait on one memorial was copied on another memorial, but then on the other memorial the same portrait had maybe the wife of the guy embracing him,
Oh, wow.
But it was exact same portrait.
With the arm around, with the arm on the shoulder.
Yeah, the arm on the shoulder was very, very frequent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they did that, really. I mean, it's such a clumsy thing they did, but that's just a fact. So you just can't trust any of these pictures of the dead, of the supposed dead, and. So we went on and looked at different things. And, of course, Max did his victim report, 80 pages. And I think he went a bit too far with the victim report. He tried, I was telling him, let's keep it simple,
All right.
But he wanted to do, he did it. Bit. That's the only critic I have for Max in that situation. But anyway, the victim report goes very deeply into looking at,
And that can be found at fake11.com/victim. I made a quick link to that, and I call it the 9/11 Achilles heel. And really, I could almost call the FOIA report for the no planes. That's also definitely an Achilles heel of the whole thing.
Yes, certainly.
I'll put a link to that in today's show notes. Yeah, so you thought it could have been a little more simple because most people are not gonna, they're not gonna read all that anyway.
But anyway, we did the best we could do to highlight the problems, and many years later, even the total numbers were different from memorial to memorial, so they never corrected those things. One was 2,996, one was 2,983, or 2,750.
Wow.
I mean, why?
Where
after
did the...
many years, this was 10 years, this was like 10 years after 2001.
Right.
In 2011, you still had these incredible discrepancies.
Yeah, what happened? Did we not find those people, are they still waiting for them to come home? We still have a light on at night for them to... come stumbling back in.
Yeah. like zombies.
Wow.
Yeah, no, well, and then after, as we started to understand the whole scam with mm-hmm. fake victims, of course, we started looking at those few people we could see, you know, turning up at truth conferences, like one guy called Bob McIlvaine.
Bob McIlvaine, yeah.
Bob McIlvaine, he's, you know, a thin old man with glasses, you know.
And his son was Bobby.
His son.
Bobby McIlvaine.
Yeah.
Poor Bobby.
Bobby, who should have died in, was it in the towers, I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He would have apparently died in the towers. And Bob McIlvaine has gone all over the world. He's been invited even in Italy, on Italian television, to tell his story. And each time he tells his story, at a certain point, like 3 minutes into his tale, he always starts weeping, you know, fake tears, crocodile tears.
September marks 20 years since 9/11, and two decades later, so many families still grappling with their loss. And a moving new article in The Atlantic looks at one family's search for meaning in the face of their grief. We're going to speak with them in just a moment. First, here's a look at their story. 26-year-old Bobby McIlvaine was many things. Son, brother, boyfriend, a devoted friend.
This beautiful life that he created, this plan to have this great life, was no more. And that really hit hard and still does to this day.
Bobby is one of the nearly 3,000 who lost his life that fateful day 20 years ago when he headed to a conference in the North Tower. Now his family's struggle to make sense of his tragic death is profiled in the September issue of The Atlantic.
Bobby, as a little boy, was full of energy, very active.
Born and raised in Pennsylvania, Bobby graduated from Princeton in 1997. He loved to write and kept diaries for most of his life, many of them filled with observations wise beyond his years.
I don't think we're going to get Bob Sr. in this video. So he's not in this video. I hope he's okay. But, sorry, here he is. You're saying a couple minutes into his... Okay, here we go. This is probably what you wanted to say.
Right. Well, you have 9/11 actors also that I made. That you have it on Patreon.
My name is Bob McIlvaine. Yeah. I'm from Orland, Pennsylvania. I lost my son. When I did this at a press, I wasn't able to get through it, but maybe the second time around. I lost my son at Merrill Lynch. Can't do it.
Mm. We had a little duping delight, a little smile at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. You can't do it.
And it's not it's just fine. Because it's 9/11 now. It's just, remember when I speak, it happens. But it brings the cold reality to the whole thing. There's a lot of people dying in the world. And we're talking horrible deaths. The deaths of those people down there were horrible. To this day, I just had a discussion with...
All right, so that's enough. So anyway, your point was that...
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got this shaky voice every time he does that, and he's been doing it for years. He's been doing it, as I said, on Italian TV, on other TVs in Europe as well, in England. And he always has this kind of delivery.
So what is the concept that most normal people that aren't 9/11 researchers would not grasp with this person, with this entity named Bob McIlvaine? What is the thing that most people are not familiar with? Because most people aren't familiar with the term PSYOP, psychological operation. So what do we call this guy, and what would the average person not understand about him?
That's a big question. Why don't people see this as clearly as you and I?
My point is, you call him a lifetime actor. And that is not a concept that anyone understands. Most people think an actor does a role in a movie, it's over, then they go on to the next movie. But there's a concept of lifetime actor where someone is paid to do a role for the rest of their life, which is really hard to understand for most people.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's a really weird way of, you know, of living. Living a lie the whole life. It's most people aren't really prepared to think that's it's possible.
And you call it on the forum the not. This is why people they you have to do more than just watch September Clues. You have to go to cluesforum.info to read the behind the scenes research that is ongoing to this day. It's so important. You can't just watch the video and walk away and say, oh, I understand. No, you don't. You have to read all the concepts behind 9/11, the psyops. This is a course. This is a university course, and it's a four-year course, too. You can't just go year one. You have to do the whole thing. You can do a whole course on the 9/11. You call it the phony 9/11 witnesses, actors only.
Yes, it's very, very, very well said, Ab.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a long time, and maybe we should tackle another thing which really is not clear for people, even for people who have seen September Clues, because I didn't include it then. This was back in 2008. I made September Clues, and I concentrated on the second plane, in this, you know, Flight 175, which was an obvious, you know, digital construct. But what I discovered after, when I started looking even more into the available imagery from the TV stations, it was the actual collapses of the towers. Okay, and I worked with it for quite a while. I thought, well, could that be fake too? You know, the actual collapses we saw.
Mm-hmm.
And because I still hadn't, you know, it took time for me as well to understand that the material scene of all the dramatic moments of the day are part of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will now wonder, so what happened in reality? And that's where we come to the smoke screen, theory, if you like, but mm-hmm. it's a theory that really, really, you know, stands to scrutiny, because what happened on 9/11 in reality? They simply they used the oldest trick in military warfare or in military illusion.
Deception, yeah.
Deception. They just raised a smoke screen with smoke machines. And don't laugh, because smoke machines existed in the First World War already, and they could cover an entire village in no time. Mm-hmm. And the southern lower Manhattan was not bigger than a village, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they just raised a smoke screen. Who knows where these smoke machines were placed? They could have been placed in World Trade Center 7, which was my what I've been hypothesizing, but even inside the towers, you know, smoke machines are just raised smoke early in the morning and covered the whole place before even 8:46, when the first plane supposedly crashed into the first tower. So. Oh, and then people will say, "Oh, that's not possible, because what if somebody had filmed, really, you know, a normal person from the street, had filmed the whole morning, and he would not have these planes on his camera? Well, he would have had a film with lots of smoke in it. You know, what do you do with that?" Are you going to go to CNN and say, "Hey, look at my own Sony Handycam movie. I didn't see any planes. I just saw lots of smoke, and the smoke started even before 8:46. What's going on here?" Well, okay, he could have tried, you know, to make a big scandal of it, but they could have just said, "Oh, well, maybe you have your timestamp wrong on your camera. You were not filming at 8 in the morning. You started at 10 when already one tower had fallen." So, you know, you can't really prove anything with any kind of amateur footage that you might have filmed.
And you're literally going to the fox in the hen house and saying, hey, I think a chicken died here. Can you help investigate? It's not going to happen because the central thesis of September Clues is the media was the instrument that was used to create the deception. So they're not going to be assisting you in any way.
Oh, no.
But they also had a story for the amateur video, too. Because one of the things that happened on 9/11, there was a call out for all amateur video and pictures and imagery to be submitted to a central repository where they were going to use it for the investigation. So how many people would have made a duplicate copy of anything? Maybe some people might have, but in the urgency of the day, they would have submitted the originals ASAP to help catch the perpetrator. So that was even thought about and considered as part of the PSYOP.
Sure. Yeah, there was Steven Rosenbaum, of the, who had this Camera Planet company, who put out ads in the Village Voice and in different places, saying, please bring all your amateur footage of 9/11 to me. I'm going to make a big repository, you know, of all this. And that's the story he told, but I think it's just a bloody hoax. He himself, and he's 80, he had 80 persons working for him, and they had the best AVID machinery, you know, like Hollywood-style machines just for special effects and stuff. So I suspect him very strongly of having made those 50 different clips, which we have. There is supposedly 50 people. There are supposedly 50 people that got like 3 seconds of exactly the moment when the plane comes, you know? I mean, even statistically, I mean, that's too much for me. At 50 people were there in the morning, were placed in a strategic place where they could actually catch a plane coming at 500 miles an hour. You know, it's really, really difficult to even catch that. You know, first of all, you know, I was a photographer in Formula One racing when I was young. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to follow a car which goes at 200 miles an hour, let alone a plane that goes at 550 miles an hour.
Even a hockey game where there's whipping around an ice rink, it's super hard to catch a photo that isn't just a blur or an out of focus with the lighting, with everything. It's very, they're not, they're only moving at maybe 40, maybe 30, 40 miles an hour.
Yes, yes.
It's being a sports photographer is very tricky.
I challenge anyone, you know, not being prepared. Suddenly a plane comes over your house and you have to catch it. You know, you have 3 seconds.
Right. First, you got to get your camera.
Pan the camera. Right. You have to do some focus. You have to, I mean, find the plane in your, you know, in your viewer. But it's virtually impossible if you only have 5 seconds to focus the plane with. But we have 50 supposed amateur videos, which are not very clear, but they're not blurry. They are clear enough that you can see a plane, you know. So it's so unbelievable, the fact that we have 50 of these amateur videos. Mm-hmm. And you know, then I, of course, many of them are just repeats. They are just made in chain. What do you call it? They are the same video, just simply rotated slightly to make it look like another one, and etc. So they've been very lazy. Most of these 50 are practically like just 3 or 4 templates, which they have slightly changed slightly the angle, slightly the colors and stuff. So that's the story about the amateur videos. They are all completely fake.
So do you want to summarize 9/11 for the uninitiated? Because we have a brand new generation that's growing up now here in COVIDia. So can we give a quick summary for someone who just has 15 seconds on TikTok? Could you make the 9/11 story into a TikTok video, 15 seconds?
Oh, I'll try.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No.
So let me try. On the morning of 9/11, smoke machines were activated to cover Lower Manhattan, and what people were seeing was this smoke rising from the towers, and that smoke actually lasted for the whole day until dusk. So it was a huge amount of smoke, which in itself is impossible to explain. Was that supposed to be the kerosene burning for hours and hours and hours? The kerosene of the place? No, that would have exploded, you know, and vaporized in a few seconds. Was it smoke caused by the collapses of the towers? Well, you can see any controlled demolition in America, they do it every day, right? They demolish big stadiums, lots of concrete, and each and every demolition rises some dusts, of course, mm-hmm. but that goes down in 15, 20 minutes, and then the sky is clear again. And even the biggest demolition you can imagine. So why did, because that's something I think everyone in New York remembers, and that's not fake. I mean, the fact that there was a huge smoke going on and on and on until dusk over Lower Manhattan. Where did all that smoke come from if it wasn't from smoke machines? Okay. Of course, when the towers actually collapsed, it also added a little bit of dust for a while. But the smoke that persisted for so many hours, from like 10 in the morning to when was it when the sun went down, like more 6-7 p.m. right,
mm-hmm.
or even later. But it was absolutely, the smoke didn't fade. It didn't fade. So the only explanation is that smoke machines were going on all day. That's just, you know, physics. That's scientific reasoning in my world. So that's the important thing to understand, because everything then becomes easier to comprehend. Why didn't people see the planes? Why don't we have real, at least one or two real looking videos of the planes? Because all of the videos of the planes, both those that were shown on TV and both the amateur, the supposedly amateur clips, are very bad, very, 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 very bad. I mean, they are very, they're very fake. You can see it from so many angles. You can show that they're fake because they even messed up the actual angle that the plane came from. Sometimes it actually skydives on CBS. It actually skydives on CNN. It goes exactly straight, horizontal level for a long time before crashing. And so there are so many discrepancies in the actual plane crash clips. And all those clips just last for a few seconds. So that was just part of the movie that they prefabricated. They prefabricated the movie before 9/11 and just cut it in many pieces and sent them to CNN, CBS, Fox, etc.
And then those people went live, those news anchors, many of them hired for the express purpose of delivering the 9/11 message. There's a lot, I believe there are a lot of new news anchors that just showed up the week or the month before. And it seems like they're almost brought in specifically to help engineer this task, because this was going to be a long-term propaganda mission starting. So that's another element. I can't give you the list of the new anchors, but a lot of them maybe were signed up for a 5 or 10 year mission, and then they then they left. I'm thinking maybe Aaron Brown of CNN. I think CNN was the number one 24-hour news network in the world, and maybe it was created just for this purpose. Now it's still going on today, but maybe maybe the idea of 24-hour news was important, because to sell a lie, you need 24-hour propaganda. You can't just let it show up on the 6 o'clock news. You have to pound it and pound it. And one of the definite selling features initially on 9/11/2001 was the repetition of the planes hitting the tower over and over. I don't know how long the clip was. It was probably 11 seconds. But they must have played that hundreds of times during the day.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, it's funny because I was just watching a video of a serial killer in Toronto. And I was hoping, because he's coming up for parole. It's been 25 or 35 years after this so-called serial killing in my neighborhood. And I was hoping for a glimpse, a new video, a new image to tell me in 2021 what he looks like, what he sounds like. Anything, but what did they play in the news footage? Just the same old clips from 25 or 30 years ago of him getting in or out of a police car, getting shot. There was nothing. So they're literally using the same psychic driving. They haven't even updated anything, because these are the images and memories that are already burned into our brains.
Yeah.
So this is the technique of propaganda.
Yeah. But I want to remember and highlight for newcomers to this research the fact that I actually that's documented in my movie September Clues, that all of the people that I've been able to find on all the broadcasts of the day, I have collected all the witness testimonies of people who say that they saw a plane crashing. They were all members of the media. They were all people working for CNN, Fox, CBS, even National Geographic, and or USA Today. They were all media people. There was not even one, or there was this garbage man, which we listened to at the beginning of this show.
Right.
But apart from the garbage man, there were very, very few testimonies on the day of normal people. It was the one of the other were news people that happened to be, you know, in the morning in Manhattan, and and even many of them also, many of them are credited to have filmed amateur shots. Like the guy from National Geographic, for instance, and many other, and or they were, or Jennifer Spell, she was a movie director for and this and the other, and if you go, if you, it's, that's all, that's, you can find that in my movie in September Clues, the full list of these people. So what are the odds? You know, what are the odds that those were the only people that were aired on TV claiming that they saw the plane, and even many of them allegedly filmed the plane crashing. I mean, that's really over the top, you know, coincidental. And I don't believe in such coincidences. Then you'll have to be a coincidence theory to think that's, it was just, you know, happenstance.
Yeah, for just, even though there's lots of media, even though New York City is definitely the media capital, probably, or at least the news media capital of the United States and North America,
yeah,
it's just, there's,
well,
just,
yeah,
there's just too many other people. And let's not forget, this was brought up on a chat we had the other day, that at the time, maybe this morning, at the time we were told that the both towers, or the tower complex, which is 9 buildings, held about 50,000 people. So at the beginning of the day on 9/11, we're told there was maybe 10, 20, 30,000 people in the towers. That's what we were told. And it slowly, as the days and weeks went by, it was whittled down to the high 2,000s or maybe even 3,000. So that's
yeah,
a lot of
know,
people that would have been on the ground.
The, you remember Divided We Stand, the mm-hmm. book by Eric Darton?
Right, was that one of the first books?
Mm-hmm. No, that was written 2 years before, 1999.
Oh, okay.
And it was like a biography of the whole history of the towers.
Okay.
And Divided We Stand, it was the title. And in this book, Eric Darton points out that in 1993, all the historical workers in the towers were evacuated. They were why? Because there was a supposed Al-Qaeda bomb which exploded in the garage.
Right.
And six people apparently died, 1983. And so they, with a pretext to improve the security systems in the towers, apparently they evacuated all of the historical workers, and they were relocated in ample spaces around Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
That's word by word what he writes in his book. So, 1983, the towers were empty. What happened after?
Yeah.
We can only speculate what happened after. Mm-hmm. But what we know happened after, because the towers then were empty for a while at least. What we know was that they put up ads in the magazines to try and attract people to hire offices.
Right, to get more people back in. So are you saying that none of the businesses that were evacuated and were put off site ever, none of them just automatically returned back? Is that the story?
Not what we can read in the book. It doesn't mention that, as mm-hmm. far as I've been able to.
That would be the logical thing. You'd move
no,
out.
No, what he meant, it's in the same book, the story that what did they do? There was a company called Alliance, a huge company, which actually offered you the opportunity to to have a virtual office in the towers because, mm-hmm. you know, that's a prestigious.
Great address.
You know, you could have an office in Georgia or in Alabama, and you could say, yeah, we also have an office in the towers. You know, that's pretty cool. So to say to your customers. So there was a scheme where many, many people appeared on paper to have an office in the towers, but they were not there. So, and also further in his book, he says the towers were decrepit. They were falling apart. They were really, you know, they were terrible. Nobody really wanted to go there and put their office there. There are many questions. And you know, there's one more extreme thing which I've seen circulating, which maybe we can mention because we've never talked about this, Ab.
Mm-hmm.
We have to wonder what these towers really were.
Right.
And they were built by Rockefellers, okay?
Right. So, 68.
Mm-hmm. And so there is one guy, I think he's English, and he says, I remember visiting the towers, maybe it was 2000, and he says that it was funny because I went into with the tourists to go up to the roof, you know, the restaurant and
yeah.
the roof.
The Windows on the
and
World
was,
restaurant, which
there was
open.
There was nobody about, just tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And when we entered the elevator, there were four buttons in the elevator.
Right.
So the ground floor, floor 4, I think, and then floor 104 and 106.
Right.
And so the tourists were brought to 106, and then they were channeled to another little elevator, which took them all the way up to the 110th.
Right,
the
sub elevator. Yeah. Now
I did that in the 80s, though. So
oh,
I can't
okay.
remember so many details. But he made that, I think, in 2000. He went up there as a tourist.
Right.
So maybe you know I was a bit dismissive of the idea of the hollow towers.
Right.
But it may have some value.
I think so. Now, not totally hollow, though.
They were 10 floors.
Yeah, not.
They were 10
of 10. Well, yeah. I used to deliver as a courier in all the office towers in Toronto. And any tower that's over 20 or 30 stories is going to have different elevator banks to different levels of floors. So there's going to be at least, for a 110-story building, there would be at least four elevator banks, I would say, that go to the first 25, the second 25, the third 25, and the final 25. And if they do have some special thing at the top, then it would be one express elevator or two, probably two at least, all the way up to the top. The only elevators that would service every floor would be the freight elevators. They would go to most likely every single floor because they would be constructed during construction. So those would be the construction elevators, and they get reverted or converted to the freight elevator. So I'm very familiar with big stories, big office towers. So that would easily be the plausible deniability for the fact that if you did go to the Windows on the World at the top, you wouldn't see any other buttons other than the ground floor, maybe a couple mid floors, service floors, and then the top floor. So that's an easy one to explain. But I totally agree that there's a very high probability that these buildings were built as props with the express purpose of being destroyed exactly 33 years later, which is another one of their magic numbers.
Yes, it is a possibility. It is a possibility. Totally. And, you know, they're just like big tourist attractions. They obviously had lots of success with tourists going every day.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, the floors were terrible. They had no lights. There was no light because their floors were, I mean, it was badly built. It was horrible architecture.
It was ugly, it was part of the Operation Chaos, where we're told that something beautiful is actually something extremely ugly, so it really creates a sense of cognitive dissonance in our brains. But the other thing is that, they were, I would say, giant props being built at the time, for sure. Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you one thing that I remember. Okay. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, okay.
Because... Before I forget this
I'm the same
memory.
Way. Before I forget, go ahead.
I went up on the rooftop with a ballerina dancer I'd met there in New York, and we went up, you know, we were in love, and let's go to the roof. Yeah, let's go to the roof. And
let's go
and
to the roof, and I'll pretend to throw you off.
But the thing I remember very clearly is really one thing I remember was that it was a very windy day, and these towers were weaving back and forth.
Oh my God.
Like a ship.
Wow.
And it was eerie. It was really eerie. I mean, really, you could feel it. You could feel like you could almost, you know, you were wiggling when you walked.
Oh, that's crazy.
I swear.
Thank God she was a ballerina most. And good on her toes. Otherwise, she would have blown right off. Well, that's the other thing I wanted to say. And at the time, I don't know if it was in this book or it was in the media, but they said there was no reason whatsoever to create such large volumes of office space at a time when New York was in a real estate glut. There was no demand. There was no projected demand, even though it took a few years probably to build. There was no reason for these things to exist ever.
I've read that too. Mm-hmm. Yes. I confirm.
Yeah. So you'd agree.
So, very strange towers, and they were really disliked by New Yorkers. Nobody liked the towers. That's what I've been able to verify with many friends that live around there. So, well, you know, it would help explain why they were so easy to demolish. You know, it was like a big Meccano
set. Well, there's a lot of people that say even if there were enough floors, say, built at the beginning, even if they filled every floor in, which is highly unlikely, but say they did. Well, if they did evacuate the towers in 1993, that would have given them 8 years to slowly demolish from the inside the floors. They could have been demolishing floors you would never have noticed.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah,
you could have had a parade of dump trucks coming in and out. Nobody would be able to put that. You think they just would call that?
They made a little They made a little pancake job.
They could have easily been destroying floors, and all in the name of renovation. Any office tower after 10 or 20 years has to be renovated, at least internally anyway, if not on the exterior. Buildings need maintenance. There'd be no way to prove it. So, yeah, they could have hollowed them out from 93 to 2001 and left a shell standing, because part of the rubble pile, which you did discuss on cluesforum.info, is the lack of rubble. And they tried to explain that away in various forms, but nobody.
Yeah, but you know, even the rubble imagery was taken from Oliver Stone's film.
Okay.
Oliver Stone had a big rubble field in California, where he filmed the 9/11 movie about the firefighters.
Firefighters, yeah.
And they had that rubble area that they made for the movie, which is the same, looks exactly the same as the one they sold us as the rubble of the tower. So we don't really know what kind of rubble was there. I think they closed off the area for weeks, you know.
Right.
After. So I don't think anybody ever filmed the actual real rubble.
But my parents said, and they went to the scene a week later, and they were met with a big, tall, opaque fence that they could not see through. There was a scene, but there wasn't a lot of video or photography of the scene that was shared.
No, but they made some fake truthers saying that, I got special permission and I went into the rubble and look at this, what's the name of that guy? One guy apparently who lived in Argentina.
Oh, yeah.
Who then was persecuted because he'd done this, these videos. It's all, you know, a pack of lies. And so the rubble, I don't think that we have any genuine footage of the actual rubble. So we can't really, you know, good reason around it.
But the other thing go ahead.
Another thing, I'm interrupting you again, but listen.
That's fine.
I really, really don't want to fail reminding our listeners of what NIST concluded.
Right.
So NIST is the National Institute for Standards and Technology. Okay?
Right.
And they spent, you know, apparently years to analyze just how the towers collapsed. And I was following their website, you know, and their investigations. They were looking frame by frame on the videos and saying, frame 3, frame 4, frame 6. And they were counting, you know, how many seconds the two towers employed to fall. And you know what their final conclusion was?
I know.
That one, you know, the two towers were 110 stories high, okay? And they were equally high.
Yeah.
But they conclude that one tower fell in 9 seconds and the other tower fell in 11 seconds. I mean, they're just pulling your leg.
All this the time.
Stupid, stupid fucking joke. Can I say fucking on radio?
This and on video.
Stupid fucking joke. 9/11 and 9/11. 9 seconds and 11 seconds. But then, wait. On the CNN... On CNN, what did you see that morning? We saw, the second tower that fell, we saw it clearly falling. And you can count the seconds it takes to fall. And it takes at least 18 seconds.
Mm.
So, you know, that's double nine. I mean, it's more than 9 seconds. I mean, it's double.
Right. It's clearly
so,
not the...
So what's up with that? How can NIST conclude, you know, scientifically that it fell in 9 seconds or 11 seconds when we see on the live TV that it takes 18 seconds? And please don't come and say that they actually slowed down the live footage for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
You can count the seconds, and it takes at least 18 or 20 seconds for Tower 1 to come down to ground level, to fall down. So everything is just absolutely absurd and crazy. All the official information we've had from that day is bullshit.
And not even good bullshit either. I'm just watching September Clues now playing in the background. I put it back on because I had other screens going, but you're told just the imagery is so low res. And I think Brian V came back on your forum just recently.
Look at this. Is this a real imagery? Does this look real to you? I mean, what's this black line we see now? What is that black line?
And the plane. Come on. The plane is barely one image. It looks like pieces of the plane are not even attached to each other. It's insane. But Brian V was saying, could this have been done on a Sega video player back?
Yeah. I mean, it's so bad. It's PlayStation 0.1. I mean, it's really, really bad. And that's why I'm hopeful that at least young people, which need to understand what happened that day. It is 20 years ago. So imagine a guy who's 21 today.
Mm-hmm.
He would have no idea of what really happened
or any interest for that matter. This is not exactly taught in school.
Right. So I really hope that, young people who are, it's not like young people are more photographic experts than we were. But at least they know what digital imagery looks like. Digital imagery in games. This is game stuff we're looking at. The 9/11 broadcast is.
There's the Batman.
This is me doing that. Yeah. I put Batman.
That makes more sense.
Able to do that myself here in my little studio. I had no real big experience.
And the car was of higher resolution. It looked more realistic. Now that I believe, if only they told us Batman crashed into it with his car, it would have been easier to understand.
Yeah. I tried to put some humor into September Clues. I hope that's appreciated because, no one died. So we can really have fun with 9/11.
But one of the reasons why I decided to do a talk show and mainly model it after your forum, just discussing your forum. And I was not even successful going through your forum like it should have been because it's so dense. The information is so dense. There's so many threads and so many topics about the components of the PSYOP. But the main idea that I wanted to get across to people is we have this entire PSYOP complex, military complex, that is built to deceive the people. And the only real war, as we are seeing today in 2021, is between the controllers and the rest of the people. So the controllers that have their control mechanism in, and I would guess, every single country on Earth, every single territory on Earth is controlled by an elite group, which probably harkens back to the beginning of when there were groups that were elite, and it may have been before even people started trading. It goes way back.
Oh, yeah.
So they have an entire complex that is dedicated to keeping them rich and the rest of us just satisfied enough to not revolt. So keep everyone at a level where they're not dangerous to the people that control everything.
Exactly.
That is a business. That is a business, and they have every behavioral and psychological tool and expert at their disposal to keep that going. And it's like any other business. You have to update your model every single day of every single year because people get smarter, technology changes. Well, I'll take that back. People don't get smarter by design. But things change, and they have to be on top of it to keep ahead of the curve. The surfer has to be ahead of a wave at all times. Otherwise, they drown. That is the war that we have been in since the beginning of time. So you have to understand psychological operations. You have to understand the role of the military. That's what we're engaged in. And September Clues Forum is just giving you some of the explanation of what is happening and what will happen in the future. And we're in the biggest PSYOP of all times. This is the most ambitious psychological operation in the history of the world right now, COVID, because it's worldwide, it's ongoing, And I predict it's a 10-year transition period, maybe 20 years, but it's never going to stop. And that's why I harped on...
Well, it's never going to stop. I don't know. I think it can't be going on forever. I think it will explode at some time. I don't know if within our lifetime or...
It could implode.
It's going to explode because, you know, there are so many things that are made in the same manner. They're using television to just tell fairy tales to us. And one of the biggest fairy tales told for many years is let's just throw in this here, is space travel. You know, we were talking about how people can live their lives in a lie, like Bob McKelvin. McElvain, and so do all the astronauts of NASA. No one has gone into space. They're just, you know, they're getting really well, they're very well paid people.
Right.
To lie their whole lives.
Astronauts. And that's another extremely important component of Clues Form is your expose on NASA and space and the agencies around it and the infrastructure, the military infrastructure behind that, that's another ongoing lie. So, yes, for sure.
Yeah, so let me repeat another little sweet thing that I like to repeat. Do people know who the first director of NASA was? Do people know that now? Because I've been repeating this on my forum several times.
Can't remember the name, but was it a movie guy?
His name is T. Keith Glennon.
T. Keith Glennon, okay.
Yeah. Oh, and he's, you know, he's even on the NASA, you know, he's not a fake figure. The NASA history talk about him. And you know what he was doing before getting the job of you know, directing NASA? You know, you would think they would take some scientist or, you know, at least, or I don't know, somebody... In the field of technology. Well, he had been the studio director of Paramount Studios.
And Golden Meyer movie.
And Golden Meyer movies.
Wow.
So he was a movie man. So from day one, they were planning to make NASA just a division of Hollywood. And that's what it is. That's what it is. It's just a division of Hollywood. Every single image that NASA produces is a Hollywood
production.
Hollywood production.
I don't know if it's on your forum, but I read that the concept of space and space travel was invented by Disney. That's where it came from.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, Disney, you know who was the best friend of Disney?
Werner
von Braun.
Right.
Werner von Braun, the guy who supposedly came from Germany. He had invented the V1 and V2 rockets, which supposedly were launched upon London in the Second World War. And then with the Operation Paperclip, he was drafted into America, and then he started NASA in America. Well, he started developing rockets for going to space. And he was immediately, he became the best friend of Walt Disney. And it was Walt Disney who made the first videos presenting this man, Werner von Braun.
Right.
You may find these videos on YouTube. You can search for Werner von Braun, Walt Disney. And, I mean, look at those. There's a small... movies where Werner Braun is in an office and he has different rockets on his desk, and he explains what the plan is for the future. We are going to space. We are going to have 3-stage rockets, and then we're going to build a space station as well where people will live. And
here to introduce you to this new series is Walt Disney. In our modern world, everywhere we look, we see the influence science has on our daily lives.
It is now X minus 2 hours.
Man's oldest dream, the desire for space travel.
Rocket firing is an awesome demonstration of tremendous power. Will be a rocket.
solar-powered ship that will finally take man into space.
The conquest of space.
Report aboard rocket.
2 minutes.
Radar scope. Computers, tracking devices, the brain and nervous system for the rocket. Now, man will bet his life the unknown blind dangers of space travel.
Whoa, that I believe.
Now coasting freely and silently through space.
Wow, they use both channels in the audio there.
Hot reacts violently to a sudden decrease in pressure.
The sensation of weightlessness. 22 hours after takeoff, for the first time, it is now time to make one glide back to Earth. After coasting halfway around the world, the rocket will leave the vacuum of space. Captain will be able to fly the rocket as a normal plane.
All tests now continue. Rocket continues the long glide down into the lower atmosphere.
Almost done.
Man has taken his first great strides forward in the conquest of space.
Mission completed.
Wow. I think Wernher von Braun flashed in that.
Isn't it amazing that we've all fallen for that, because I fell for that when I was a kid. And I thought it was all true.
That was 1955, allegedly.
Yeah.
And there was one more. There's one more footage. Let me just do this. This is the one I think you might have been talking about.
To the engineer, spaceflight poses two problems. The first is, of course, to build a rocket ship.
Yeah.
Compared to the unmanned instrument rocket, it is quite large. But the overall size and weight of the rocket is mainly determined by the 11 tons weight of this top section.
11 tons. There's their numbers. They never stop with the numbers. Never, ever, ever.
Yep. Exactly.
That is their signature. It's them signing their work all day long. They can't help themselves.
They can't help themselves.
Crazy. Mm. But yeah, so that really does. Space is a Disney invention. And it still is. They still control the narrative of space, I believe, still to this day.
They do. And I want to say something a bit maybe not so funny, a bit more dramatic, that they've had to dumb down the people to accept this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how we've been talking for years about fluoride in toothpaste making people dumber.
How about vaccines?
That's
go with vaccines.
It's not only fluoride; it's all those vaccines that people are taking. And in America, I read a few months ago, a kid between 0 and 18 years of age will have 76 shots of various vaccines.
Oh, I know.
I mean, all of these shots are at least slightly toxic. And I think the vaccines are really the problem. We have to understand this now. It is urgent.
Yes, it is urgent.
That no vaccine has ever eradicated any disease. It's been a total hoax from start to finish. And now they're playing on this. They know that most people believe in vaccines, so they've been able to pull off this COVID-19 hoax.
Absolutely.
And I like to write COVID-19. I like to write COVID-19 like this. COV1D 19, because that's 9/11.
There's 9/11 embedded in there. Yeah,
that's 9/11 the other way around.
Right.
Well, you know, it's maybe just maybe it's a coincidence, right?
Well, there's no coincidences. Anyway. This is not coincidence theory. Actually, it looks like you do. I'm just looking at your thread. The 9/11 PSYOP exposed, and we've got 18 years ago today, 19 years ago today. Yeah, it seems like you do a little post every single year on the anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting.
Of course.
And I'm just looking. Yeah, you write it COV1D. Yeah, so you take the first I and make it a 1. Then you have 9/11 inverted. Yeah, that's possible.
It's 9/11 inverted.
The 1 and 9 are super important. We had the 19 hijackers. These are also super important numbers. I think the 1 and the 9 coming together, there's some kind of That's the expanse of numerology without the zero. It's all the one and nine merged to one. There's so many ways to look at it.
Absolutely. I mean, what about the passengers on the two planes that crashed into the towers? Did you see that?
The numerology, yesterday. You could go all day exploring it and the flight numbers, and it's all important to them, and the time of the impacts. It's all carefully thought out. Nothing is coincidental. There's always some thought. They do not leave. I dare say they don't leave any numbers random. They're all thought out. And
absolutely,
yeah.
Now, I have it in front of me. It's the first plane, Flight 11, okay? Flight 11 was supposedly the first plane that hit Tower 1.
846.
It had 81 passengers and 11 crew.
Mm-hmm.
So 81 is 9, right?
Right.
8 plus 1, 9. Right. And 11
right.
crew. For a total of 99, which is 9 times 11.
Right.
Now, the second plane that hit the second tower had 56 passengers.
11.
5 plus 6, 11.
Yeah.
And 9 crew.
Right.
9 crew.
All, yeah. It's
11,
crazy.
Again, 11, 9. For a total of 65.
11.
65. That's 11 again.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Really. Yeah. Really, guys. I mean, this is absolutely, you know, totally programmed, calculated for... In your face, you know, in your face.
Now, I don't know how many people are watching on YouTube the September Clues video, because I know somebody put it back up there. But at the peak, just as we were talking, I had 50 people watching live on FakoTube by my statistics. So obviously either people are randomly getting it to, they're probably finding it through your post from today, because today is probably your biggest day on Clues Forum, even though perhaps it's somewhat... Well, you said optimistically that DuckDuckGo, which uses the Google search engine, is bringing up September Clues quite prominently on the first page.
Absolutely. I was surprised.
Even though Google probably owns DuckDuckGo, I think
It's another Weinberg, I think, who owns DuckDuckGo.
So right. So there's no doubt it's establishment, and probably because they say they're not tracking who's doing the search, that probably means they are tracking. By IP, at least. So it's, I wouldn't trust.
Yeah, but it's,
yeah.
No, but it's very useful for me, because DuckDuckGo brings up, on the first page, it's my whole website with the different sections that you can just click on. It's very good. It's very good.
Yeah, if you go to duck.com, you'll go to DuckDuckGo, and duck.com was owned by Google. So.
All right. Okay. Well, okay. But yeah, I was
surprised. But if you type September Clues,
it brings up all the. And I found some very good sites that have been talking about September Clues over the years, which I never found on Google.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm just thankful for DuckDuckGo existing.
September Clues has a home on Facebook as well. Is that yours? Is that your, let's just see what that is. Maybe that's not anything related. Somebody is on there.
Oh yeah, that's not my. This Facebook page was made by this guy in Australia.
Yeah, it's fairly recent.
Who's called Equinox.
Oh, Equinox, right?
Yeah,
I remember that.
That's his,
but it says here February 13th, but it doesn't say what year. I don't. Oh, it's well, maybe it's 2012. Okay, so maybe it's quite old. Yeah, I remember Equinox now.
No, I mean when he did the page, he like embedded me as a. As a creator, but I'm not a creator of that page. It's his page.
Right. He calls it the documentary they don't want you to talk about. There's so many characters that come and go on Clues Forum. They come and they go. Almost very few have stuck around. Interesting. What do you make of that?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's...
Do you think people get tired of it?
You would have expected it. I mean,
do you think people get tired of talking about this? Talking about research?
It's something that's I wonder about, you know. Some people who really do good contributions suddenly disappear. I don't know why.
You had one guy that I would say created some kind of forum vandalism on Clues Forum, where he came in and found a way just a loophole to delete all his posts. And basically it was like shooting holes in the research, making it hard to follow. You remember that? I think it was Real Deal.
Yeah. Real Deal, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, what do you want to do? I mean, that's just part of the whole
operation. Do you think?
The whole operation.
So when we talk about PSYOPs, when we talk about military operations, it's full spectrum dominance, where the military, the defense contractors that work for the military, they cover every aspect of an operation, from the video to the forums to any discussion. They steer all of that.
Yeah. Hmm.
Another really difficult concept for people to really understand, isn't it?
Sure.
To letters to the editor, to call in people to radio shows. It's all, nothing is organic except this show and this chat. Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, you know, okay, well, let me just state this thing. It may sound corny, but really I have had, my life has been so unconnected from everything, from the working world, and you know, I've been lucky enough to have done my everything I wanted to do. I was a cartoonist and I was a photographer, and you know, I was a bit of a, you know, absolutely, I never was contracted by anyone, and I have no connection to anyone. So when people, you always find, you know, for young people looking up my name, they will find, oh, Simon Shack, you know, he must be an agent and stuff. Well, I'm not. And the reason I'm saying this is because, at least here in Italy, the people who act as truthers, they never say this. They even, you know, or on the contrary, they have, you know, fundraising schemes to get richer. And I have not made money on September Clues, apart from some donations from nice people who have helped me along. So I want to respect, I mean, some people have sent me some money,
right.
But I think some people send some money to you too.
Absolutely.
To you as well.
Fakeologist.com/donate. And really, I don't need the money right now. I'm still allowed to work in the system because we haven't got to that point, but the walls probably, possibly are closing in. And
you don't have the green pass? You don't need a green pass in Canada now?
They're working on it. The number they chose, the date they chose is 9/22, so the numbers persist. It's not the first of the month or the 25th. It's the 22nd, 9/22. That something is going to occur. I can't tell you what. And on 10/22, there will be another level of intensity regarding this permission to live in Canada. So there are dates coming up. I'm not looking forward to any of them. Normally you look forward to the future, but not these days. But yeah, I accept donations mainly because people want to contribute. I made it available, fakeologist.com/donate. And I even left a button on fakeologist.com/blog on the right to donate to September Clues. I left your button on my site. I don't know if anyone's pressed it. Because so you have a donate button for PayPal. Which
But you know, let's make it clear that it's really not much money coming through the agency. I mean,
you can't make a lot of money.
It doesn't
on
make
truth.
My living, you know, it doesn't cover, with all respect to those who do, you know, the maximum I've had was like, you know, 100 euros or 200.
Well, that's
very
good.
Very, very, very seldom, very seldom.
Well, so, the other problem is...
We talk about over 13 years. It's 13 years ago that I released September Clues, and you know, the total amount must be, you know, like, I don't know. I haven't been, you know, counting, but really not much to speak of.
But you're still accepting donations anyway if people want to donate through PayPal, which is the main way.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate people who have maybe some money to spare because I'm running out of you know, cash, really, because I can't even, with this COVID thing, I'm not even, I've been, you know, renting a couple of rooms in my house. I have this old house, but I used to be able to rent a room or two. But that's not been possible.
You're in the music business as well, and that business can't be good because the only real way of making money in the music business is to tour or at least do a concert.
It's dead, completely dead. I have no more, I mean, for years now, I have no more customers in my studio.
So people can donate at PayPal. I also recommend at some time you go to DonorBox yourself, Simon, DonorBox, and set up something there because PayPal has been canceling people like crazy.
Really?
Absolutely. So a backup. Get yourself a digital wallet with Bitcoin. It doesn't cost anything to do, just in case. I'm not saying Bitcoin is the be all and end all, but the more ways to funnel money or funds your way, the better off it will be for you. Just because PayPal has definitely cut off some of the most, I would say, not really controversial people in truth at all. And if you're flying over the target, which you are, then I would be super wary. I think it's sort of like a complaint-based basis. Someone would probably have to complain about you, and that might drive them. I don't think they're just wandering around the internet looking for people to target, so... I think the fact checkers, that army that is funded and controlled by Big Pharma, is busy sniffing around looking for anything that contravenes the official story. So your September clues isn't relevant to COVIDs for most of the fact checkers. So I think you're probably okay right now, but.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I haven't been banned so much on. I'm on Facebook as well, you know, because I like to keep contact with my Italian friends. But I've been banned very, very few times. But you know, last time I was banned, why that was for?
No,
I had posted a link to an official NASA website showing the picture of you know, the 1969 astronaut's suit. Which on the suit you can see a little pocket for sunglasses.
Wow.
The astronauts actually had a pocket, you know, the Apollo astronauts had a little pocket on their arm.
Right.
Which was for keeping the sunglasses. So that was so funny, I just put it on Facebook and they banned that.
And the joke there is they wore if you're for the heart of thinking, they wore space helmets with probably all the filters in the visor built in. So where would they have put the sunglasses? that is the joke. Yeah.
What a joke.
And that's just, and either that was an oversight wherever maybe the spacesuit was from just the Air Force suit and they just transferred it over because I think the Air Force.
No, wait. Look, I have here in my house.
Yeah.
An old. It's like it's a large but thin book which an Italian big newspaper released a few weeks after Apollo 11 would have landed on the moon.
Okay.
So this special edition of the. This newspaper it's a hardback thing, you know, with beautiful pictures, you know, of Apollo 11. And in this book, you have this exact picture of the spacesuit with the pocket for sunglasses.
Right.
That came out in 1969, in August or, you know, just a month after the supposed landing.
Right.
So, so, yeah, I mean, they've been playing with us so
Well,
so
I think
badly.
They can get away with stuff like that because they know that only a very few people are paying attention. And anyone who does find something that would be an anomaly, where are they going to broadcast it? Now, today you have the internet, but just because they have other techniques to drown you out on the internet. And
But they're obviously been testing relentlessly. They've been testing people's gullibility.
Oh yes.
And that is, you know, when you
they want to know how well the vaccines are working. That's the real test.
Yeah.
If people aren't noticing really obvious things, then they know the vaccines are working.
Right.
They're keeping people completely off their game. Here's a gullibility test. Are you gullible?
Are people asking you to take the jab in Canada?
Actually, I will show you a video that I saw last night. The propaganda is relentless. It's really hard to turn off when you're a researcher. It's almost dangerous to be a researcher. Because it's tough on your psyche to do all this.
Yeah.
I saw this video yesterday, and I will play it real quick, and you can, here's your answer to your question.
We're all in this together. We've come so far in the fight against COVID, it's time to finish this pandemic for good. So get vaccinated. If you know someone who hasn't, talk to them. For our kids, for our communities, for our economy. It's how we get together. Vaccines are safe and effective.
I know the audio is low because someone was...
Justin Trudeau.
Yes, Justin Trudeau. And the next guy is the opposition party leader. Here's what he has to say.
For use. Vaccines are the best way for you to protect yourself, your family, and your community. So get vaccinated. Let's fight COVID-19 together.
And this guy's the French guy. He's the leader of the political party. It's a federal political party based in Quebec. And their main line in their constitution is for Quebec to separate from Canada. That is a federal party. They're allowed to operate as a party devoted to leaving Canada. So that's this guy. So, yeah, somebody videoed this off Twitter. That's why the audio is no good. And then there's this guy.
I love the French-Canadian accent.
Oh, okay. We're all in agreement. So this is the left-wing party, the NDP. And this is the... and this is the Green Party. This black woman is the Green Party, which is left.
Oh my God.
Left of the NDP, left-wing Sikh party.
And it's time to get the shot. Vaccines save lives. They're how we're going to beat COVID. And it's time for everyone to do it. Get the shot.
Wow. It's absolutely
look how
crazy.
They're standing.
It's so did weird.
Did you see that? Look how they stand.
Yeah. Yeah, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Now, we have a more right-wing party that probably has maybe optimistically 5% of the popular vote. And don't forget, you only need about 30% of the popular vote to form a government. It's not
right.
It's not a majority by any stretch. That person was not invited to this meeting, this debate. He was excluded. So,
He
was now whether he's controlled opposition, it doesn't matter. The fact is, he wasn't invited, and he is against the Quaxport. He's not against vaccines. He's against mandatory vaccines. He's against coerced vaccines, but he wasn't invited. He's expressly against the passport. I don't trust him anyway because he's a globalist, and he's probably funded by Big Pharma as well. But yeah, that's the answer to your question. So this is the propaganda that all Canadians are facing on a minutely basis. Forget a daily basis. You can't even drive down the highway.
But it's the same everywhere in all nations.
Crazy.
It's absolutely staggering. Even in Sweden, they have those kinds of videos of people famous people saying, you got to take the vaccine. It saves lives. It's amazing. Everywhere. And certainly in Italy.
The coordination. But the funny thing,
let me tell you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The government has done, you know, governmental ads promoting the vaccine, okay, with celebrities, you know, like the football director of the football team and famous singers and stuff. Well, when they publish this on their YouTube channels, there is the actual government YouTube channel. They get like 90% of thumbs down, 95% of thumbs down. So I know YouTube maybe is not a statistic valid for, you know, scientific purposes, but 95% say fuck off, and all the comments are, I mean, stop this. We know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's strange to me, that on social media, on the internet, there is an enormous opposition towards these forced vaccines.
I think
Whereas, you know, when you go on the streets, many people will say, yeah, I just had my jab. It's incomprehensible. I really don't know, you know, what are the exact, you know, percentages of people who go along.
No, you can't know.
Do not.
But just my own informal poll, just the people I trust to give me an honest answer. Unfortunately, the number is high. It's very high.
Okay.
And that's just people I know that probably wouldn't lie to me. And if they and
but not as high as the
well,
say.
It's,
now, you know,
it's too high for me. It's too high for me to be comfortable because I know that it's a high number.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So you could do your own poll, but and people may or may not answer honestly because, of course, there's no way to prove. It's like asking somebody who they voted for. They're going to give you the answer they think you want to hear. There's no way to verify, of course, in a free society who people vote for. So I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, YouTube is not something where, you know, it's like a political party where only some people go to. YouTube is for everyone, right? So here, systematically, I've been looking at so many videos promoting the vaccine, and they are like 9 out of 10 are thumbs down.
Yeah. But don't forget, those are the people actively in the sphere of looking into this. We have a large percentage of any population that's very passive. They're not active in any way, politically, religiously.
So you're saying that people that accept the vaccine simply don't go to YouTube and never look at any videos and don't vote?
I think there's a very high percentage of people that don't avail themselves to research of anything in any way on the internet, period. Doesn't matter what we're talking about. And the reach of the television is now limited to people, I would say, 55 and up. So that's a large percentage of the population that does not get messaging through the television, period. Now, I have deliberately kept television out of my house for over 10 years because I won't pay for the privilege of having it come in. And both of my TV tuners that would normally receive signals over the air, I think were hit by lightning because they simultaneously burned out and I didn't fix them. So I think there was some kind of electrical surge that fried them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm fine with that.
Okay.
But, I would say there's a huge percentage of the people that are disconnected. But, for instance, if you want to go into a store or you want to go traveling or you want to go to school and they tell you you have to do this to get in, well, then all of a sudden it becomes an issue for somebody that may not have cared less about it. So all of a sudden it is a pass. It is a prerequisite to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So would you stop at that point and say, oh, okay, I'll look into that? Well, probably not. Not if you're not someone who's able to research. And unfortunately, as I've said many times before, many people think the internet is TikTok, YouTube, or Facebook. They don't realize there's these other things called websites that you can type in a URL and go to them.
Yeah.
They don't exist for a large generation. A large generation. I can tell you by my own children. I know what they do on their phone, their pathway. They don't even check their email. I'll say, did you get my email? No. Did you check your email? No. How often do you check your email? More than not once a day? Not even once a day? You know, you might get something important in there. No. Yeah. But if it's on TikTok on the front page, they're there.
Okay.
So
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. September Clues will have to go to TikTok to get any audience. So I don't really, I've put a couple videos on TikTok. And one went really well, over 10,000 views of some sort, and then it got deleted. So it's a lot of work to, as you know, create something, put it up, and then it gets deleted. It happens too fast.
Yeah.
But let me quote a chat from Gabriel, truther in Texas, on your side, I believe, is who this is. He says, thanks for all your great work, Simon. Clues Forum was where I learned the truth of many things and broke the mind control. It is still amazing to know of all this deception.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Well, I've had so many people writing to me with the similar messages. I'm so happy that it's been useful what I've been doing in these years, apparently, because I only ever get positive mails or comments. I never get hate mail.
No, that's good.
Fortunately.
Skate and Destroy says, I never really lurked on Clues Forum. I will have to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of people, if you're not an app on a phone, then you don't exist.
Right.
I think Clues Forum, we should do a fundraiser for someone to make an app. And just take all the top points and put them on an app somehow.
That would be great.
Maybe. I don't know. At least.
A lot of work, though.
Maybe. Or Clues Forum should at least become mobile friendly. For instance, I use an app on my phone called Tapitalk, and I had to start a new forum for fakeologists just for people to start their own threads, and I had to start it anew because it was the software had to be compatible with a mobile phone and allow an app that is generic to all forums or many forums to access it. So I had to do that.
I really suck at those things. I'm not savvy.
Savvy in English.
Mm-hmm. I'm not savvy on all these new things, and no, getting older and not keeping up with the technology. I blame myself for that. I should be investigating, how to spread the message better.
And here's Gabriel also says, the company I work for sent us emails this week that those of us unvaxxed are having our access to all corporate buildings globally removed in early October.
Oh, Jesus.
This is a huge problem. So this is coercion of the highest order. The plan was always to download the tyranny to the private corporations because allegedly they're not accountable to anything regarding human rights. So instead of rewriting or completely destroying any country's constitution, they just pass the mandates down to private, and then they're willing to change laws to allow the tyranny to exist within private corporations and not be superseded by any laws of the land, which is the end of democracy, as far as I can see.
Yes, it is.
That means that the world will be controlled by corporations, and we've said this for a long time, that all borders will be eliminated. And we will just be divided into a series of mega cities and mega regions controlled by corporations.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible. Sick. It's pretty bad.
So Yeah, that's.
Oh, dear. You know, I'm wondering, you know, Spain has, they have completely rejected the Green Pass. Do you know that?
Yeah, Spain.
So I'm even considering moving.
Well, we have to we have to find a place to move. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I just saw a story from Spain because I follow the lovely Hanna Maria, who broadcasts from the Ana Lucia Mountains somewhere in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that a child who would not mask at school at the advice of her parents took her back home. And then she said the system came and removed the child from the parents.
Oh, fuck.
So this is Spain as well. So the tyranny.
No, yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not saying Spain is some kind of wonderful, but at least what I know is that the judiciary of all the different regions of Spain have rejected the Green Pass. So I mean, that's happened. That's a fundamental thing. Whereas here in Italy, the whole government is for it. It's going through. Everything is going through. And they are now talking about compulsory vaccination. What do they mean, actually? Are they going to tie you on a bed and inject the venom in your arm? What would be vaccinazione obbligatoria? What do they even mean with that? So, you know, so would it come to my house and tie me on a stretcher?
No, but you won't be able to leave your house.
All right.
At the moment, that's your prison. So it's crazy.
This level of madness. I never imagined we would come to this point. Really.
No, I was hoping it would get. I was hoping the next generation would have to deal with it. How selfish of me!
Yeah.
I was thinking, it's exhausting. Actually, it's mentally exhausting, and all psyops, or in this case, or takeovers, or they're meant to wear you down. That's the whole way. They don't get you right away. They wear down your resolve, and then you just submit.
Yeah, this is why we need absolutely to keep our spirits high.
Yeah, that's true.
We laugh about it. Very often laugh. Because it will necessarily have to explode, implode. And we need patience, because otherwise, you know, we will get sick because, you know, just because of the psychological pressure.
Yes. I'm surprised.
And
more people
we should
aren't
not
sick
allow
stress.
This to happen to us. We should not, really.
No. No, we shouldn't. And I think we've talked many times over the years, and we often probably thought and maybe speculated out loud that they're not going to stop planning. So what is the next 9/11 going to be? And we've been talking for almost 19, 20 years. I don't think either of us had any real indication that this is the direction we have.
No.
There's been some talk about health and vaccines on Cruise Forum, I believe.
Yeah. We did talk about, you know, the fake pandemics of the past, you know, Ebola, and swine flu.
Yeah,
we had some kind of sense that something weird was going on with those pandemics,
right?
Which were fake. They were fake. I mean, they were totally fake. I mean, they were all advertised as potential, you know, humanity killers,
right?
And then at the end of the day, after a few months, they just faded away to it totally. You know, who's talking about Ebola anymore, or the swine flu?
Or SARS.
The avian flu, et cetera. They were test beds, probably, for the COVID. They were test beds. And so, you know, to gradually make us accept that pandemics happen, you know, they will happen from one year to the next. some bats will shit on the ground and some animal will eat it, and then we would transmit to the humans, beings. Oh God.
Yeah. You know. It's the size of the operation is just awesome. You just have to just step back and think this is, it's so big, it's so overwhelming. There's nowhere to run. You can't turn left. You can't turn right. It's just awesome, really. Makes 9/11 look like a weekend at Bernie's. Just we had this 9/11 thing. It came, it went. They passed some laws. They created a multi-billion-dollar industry, maybe a $1 trillion worldwide security industries. They militarized the airports.
Yeah.
And that may, we sort of thought that was it. We discovered that in the Patriot Act were some of the laws laid to create cryptocurrency. So this whole idea that it randomly was started by some guy in Japan is just another one of those crazy origin stories that doesn't really make sense.
Okay.
You know, just like a guy in a garage started a computer company or a software company.
Yeah.
These guys, I'm always leery of a guy in a garage that starts a company.
Yes.
Pretty much code for military operation with corporate cooperation. Mm-hmm. And somebody makes a great fortune because the government absconds with or prints trillions of dollars to support said industry and make it created out of thin air, similar to the Big Pharma. It's I would say the vaccine business was probably in decline because there was probably, because of maybe some kind of dissemination of information on what vaccines don't do, that maybe there was a growing resistance. And now, of course, the marketing has turned completely tyrannical, saying you have to take this product.
Yeah. Just a little parenthesis I can do for Italy. The one of the reasons I think that Italy was hit so hard, because we were hit really hard with this COVID stuff,
right?
Was that some years ago, not many, less than 10 years ago, 2014 or something, the health minister, a horrible lady, very, very satanic looking, she introduced 12 compulsory vaccines for children in schools, and that caused havoc. People really said, no, I mean, you can't impose 12 vaccines on my kids. So there were demonstrations already then against, mandatory vaccines. And so there was big opposition against child vaccinations some years ago in Italy, which was not this. It didn't happen in Sweden or in Germany or in England. It was so one of the reasons I think Italy was hit so hard because we've been hit really hard. We've had really stringent lockdowns and. And now they're talking about mandatory COVID vaccines. So they have, regulated the force of the COVID impact differently on various countries. Well, it's just a little detail I wanted to highlight. In Sweden, in my country where I come from, they never imposed any face masks. They've never done that. They've never made any lockdowns. And why? Because there was no opposition against vaccinations. Sweden is famous for taking vaccinations gladly.
Okay.
So there was no reason to make it so harsh.
And also, I'm not sure, you can tell me, that Swedes are definitely on board with the digital ID. And there allegedly are 3,000 people or so, people that actually have a chip in their skin, under their on their arm to swipe.
Yeah,
various...
that comes from an old. I remember they were talking about this many years ago, and there were some ads with beautiful girls getting their chips in their arm and saying, "Oh, I'm really hip now. You know, I'm right. Have the chip." Yeah, but it's not representative of all the Swedish population, really. I mean,
no.
On the other hand, I don't want to talk badly about my own home country. Now I can see in Sweden in this last year there is an awakening as well in Sweden that many people say no, I'm not going to take the jab, but that's my impression at least. There is a counter tendency in Sweden going on now.
I mean, there's only 10 million people in Sweden. Yeah. It's a small country. It's a very they're used, I believe, to be integrated with their government. They're okay with governmental control. I don't know if there's any strong.
Oh yeah, the problem with Sweden, they have been so
compliant.
Compliant because they've never suspected that their rulers can be evil. They don't think so they are basically a very gullible population. Mm-hmm. But when you talk to a Swede and you give him data and facts, he will look at them usually more than an Italian or a Spaniard or it's just my own feeling. Swedish people are rational, and they will actually take the time to read, data and facts. So when you present a Swede with facts, he will actually consider them. And so I have small hope, little hope for Swedish population to.
Who knew you had your own East India Company? The Swedish East India Company began in 1731. The home port was Gothenburg.
So of course, I mean, Sweden has also been involved very deeply in the deep states. Yeah.
Oh, you'll love this. Also... There was a significant population increase during the 18th and 19th centuries, which the writer Isaiah Tegnér in 1833 attributed to the peace, the smallpox vaccine, and the potatoes. Wow.
Right.
It never ends. It never ends. It just doesn't. It's just crazy. I don't know the history of Sweden, but whatever the case, they've been left out of the tyranny for now. I think it's mainly because if the end game, which I believe is the ID 2020, the digital ID that comes with your wallet, your social credit, your carbon credit, and your medical records. If that is the end game of this, and to put everyone on the blockchain, so their movements, their everything that we used to call a right is tracked and traced and cataloged and quantified and qualified, then Sweden's already there, whereas the people that walk around the United States without even ID or even a bank account, they're really the tougher population to convince that the government loves them and really wants to know how they're doing and where they're doing it and why they're doing it. Where I think Sweden is already flipped. I think you could just tell every Swede tomorrow, make sure that you're walking around with your digital ID. And the kroner's gone. It's now going to be this worldwide central bank digital currency. And probably going to have to you probably won't be able to buy a property anymore. I think Swedes would probably flip okay. I don't think there'd be protests in the same way that might happen somewhere else.
No, they're doing protests already, huh? In Sweden, a little bit. Yeah, small protests. But, the most horrible... things I've seen in Sweden lately, there are some protests, okay?
Right.
And usually by more elderly people, for some reason. Not you know, usually protests are made by young people, okay?
Right,
but
they have the energy.
More elderly people that maybe have, you know, understand better. So the Swedish police turns up with gas masks, you know, the Second World War type gas masks. You know, the real heavy duty gas masks. And bring these old timers away. They put them into a van and drive them away from the demonstrations. I mean, this is Swedes that see this will be shocked. They, you know, there are things going on in Sweden that they never imagined would ever happen in their country. And what is happening in Australia? I mean, look at the horrible stories from Australia.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. They're turning that country over pretty hard right now, and it's pretty disgraceful. And it's not good.
May I ask you a question which might offend you?
Try.
How? I mean, I used to believe that Canadians were certainly much more smarter than Americans. Sorry,
but I'm not a I'm not a nationalist, so you don't have to worry.
No. Okay. So, how the hell was Justin Trudeau elected? I mean, he's such an obvious clown. I mean, he's such a clown. How can he have? Did he get a majority vote from Canadians?
No, he doesn't have it. He has a minority vote, but he has a minority vote. We're in the middle of an election, as I showed in the video. It's a 36-day election cycle, the shortest cycle ever. After 2 years, he's decided to... I don't know what the point of elections are at this point. I thought the last election would have been the last election ever. I think elections will be gone in most Western democracies.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he called another one. I think he's rolling the dice to get a majority, but... At this point, in all Western democracies, it doesn't matter because we're not passing laws. We're not using the legislature and the majorities that they might have in a legislature to pass laws. Everything is simply a diktat. It's all by decree, as if these people are kings and queens. So I don't really even see the point. And even in the at the state level, I follow a YouTube channel in Idaho.
Yeah.
Or sorry, Utah, which is the home of the Mormons. This guy explained how they have three separate branches of government that are supposed to defend their territory carefully, but they've basically all merged. So the legislature, the executive, and the judiciary, they've essentially merged. Their actions show they've already merged. So they're not defending. So it doesn't matter... So the executive that is supposed to enact the laws or is supposed to administer the laws, they're making the laws. And the legislature is doing nothing. So they're not making the laws in the legislature. They're letting the executive make them by way of executive order and also implementing the laws. And the judiciary just enforces... Because it's all COVID. So everyone is basically absconded from their post.
Right.
And it's the same in Canada. All these diktats are by orders of the Privy Council, which is the private group of bureaucrats that basically administer the country. So they're not laws. And that's how they're all running. They're all unconstitutional. The only thing that they passed was an emergency order. And it's like the Enabling Act of Germany. It just enables the Führer to do whatever he wants. It's the same template everywhere. So to me, this election is useless.
Yes.
And as far as why did Canadians vote? Well, most people agree that most governments aren't voted in. It's the old ones voted out. So we only have a left and a right with a couple fringes on the side. And that's how he got in. He got in because he was young. He had a name, even though his father was more notorious and widely hated by outside the central area. So that's it.
His father was he also Canadian president or
he was prime minister. He was the crime minister of Canada twice.
The crime minister.
Yeah. And he was Jesuit trained. He was
okay.
He was an intellectual, and he was. He was just definitely one of the more charismatic crime sinisters and considered intellectual. His son is the total opposite. There's no proof that he is his biological son. And it would appear that...
Oh, really? Really?
There's lots of speculation that he looks a lot like Castro because allegedly his mother was a bit of an airhead and maybe carried on. There's not a lot of evidence of any of these leaders today being biologically related to any of their origin stories.
Well, Obama was a case in point.
Exactly. A lot of these leaders, I have the crazy idea that a lot of these people are test tube babies. Test tube technology has been going on for a long time. It's perfected.
Well, you
could just put them in all... Even the elite today, the actual people that rule things, when their child is old enough to walk, they're sent away and disconnected from the family and go to boarding school. And that is how the elite train their children. They're completely devoid of empathy, emotion, a connection to family. So why wouldn't you create one of these people in a test tube and then give them a foster family in the elite or intelligence agencies? And then...
Could be.
Yeah, that's... Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, my nieces and nephews are all test tube children.
Yeah, but I mean, I kind of agree because there must be a reason for all these leaders to be so completely detached from reality.
Right. Exactly.
And evil, simply evil.
Like, I mean, I don't know about you,
create such so many leaders that are simply fucking evil and you know, obnoxious.
Well, how old did you have to be before you stopped thinking, oh, I wonder what my mother or father would say if I did this? You know, think about it. We're connected to our families, so you don't want to embarrass the family. You don't want to do something outside the normal bounds of your own family. So you wouldn't do something if you were still speaking to your mother or father that would anger them, would you? For instance, you wouldn't run a company that wants to force inject the entire population and potentially kill them. Your mother might say, why are you doing that, Simon? That's not a nice thing to do. So, you know, if you're not connected to your family or your parents, well, you don't have that. And that is the number one government for most people. Well, the number one government is self-government. And number two is family government. And then number three is religious, and number four is the state. But because society doesn't have self-government, really, people don't really have a moral compass. They're not attached to the religious government. We know that has been given up. And because the family government has been purposefully destroyed, then what are you left with? The state.
Right.
That's it.
The state.
The state is everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It tells you what to do, what to eat, where to go, how to think. That's it.
Yeah, but we should be able to bring this down. It's not possible that it can't last forever. I'm an incurable optimist, you know.
Oh, good.
This can't last forever.
Okay.
So we need to, you know.
Let's bring it down next year so I can come visit you in Rome. You know, my daughter was supposed to go to school in England, and it was part of my plan. She was going to be supposed to be in England in September 2020. But of course, that's gone. That dream is gone, flushed. It won't happen. It was only for first year students, and now she's in second year, and now she's officially going to withdraw. So she's gone from a AAA student to I'm not doing it anymore because of all these pressures and the threat, of course, of the vaccine. So that's a derailed, a temporarily derailed life, which is it really indicative of
projects.
of, yeah. So I was planning on, that would be my first trip off North America. So I was planning to go over to that way at least twice last year, one to take her there and one to pick her up and maybe scoot.
Well, I tell you one thing. If you ever come to Europe, please don't fail to come to Rome. And
maybe I'll just go to Rome.
Okay, but please, because I would really, really enjoy hosting you.
Oh, I appreciate
here
it,
and have lots of.
You're the only person I know in Italy, so.
Okay. All right.
You would be an easy destination for sure. So.
Yeah. I mean, you're always welcome. Very, very welcome.
No, I appreciate that, and of course, I appreciate all you've done. And 9 years later, we still talk, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And nothing you've said has been wrong, which is pretty good. It's a pretty good track record.
Thank you.
And you haven't disappeared. You haven't gone crazy. You haven't done any of the things that a lot of truthers that we've seen come and go have done.
No, and it's many years now.
I think you've stood the test of time. I think we can give you a blue check mark now.
Thank you. Hopefully. I mean, where am I supposed to disappear and why? I mean, this is my life. I like to expose deceptions, and
you're good at it.
Maybe something I'm wrong, you know, about them. Some things like people are still talking about the fact that I put in September clues the conjecture that missiles were used. But that was 2008. I was just only beginning to understand 9/11.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I retract that idea, but it's not because I wanted to mislead people.
No.
I just thought that because there were people.
You've made it clear on our podcast forever, and it's on your blog, on your forum. So we're good. We agree with that you're not misleading.
Right.
It's 2008. You just started really in that year, and you put something out quite quickly.
And probably just to, okay, so I should do a rehash, a redux of September Blues, and take away those things. But you know, I'm also very, very busy with my solar system research. So I'm going to do that in the future. Maybe a September Clues more, you know, fail-proof. And
Well, you should find a website to raise money. That would be the best way to motivate you. So I wouldn't use GoFundMe because they probably would pull the plug on you pretty quickly. Try and find an alternative, more truther-proof fundraising site, and I'll donate money, and we can get that ball rolling, and maybe you could just do an update.
It's not so much about money, really. It's about my energy, you know.
That's true. Well, maybe you could find somebody to direct.
You could be the
director.
Yeah. I'd love to have some, you know, some real, you know, helpers, you know, assistants doing things that I did before because, you know, getting on with age, you don't have the same energy. And, you know, even just the fact that the program I used, Vegas, to make September Clues is not really working now for me. And so I have to relearn maybe another program. I mean, all of these small things that make me not so productive lately. But I think September Clues really stands even a test of time, apart from a few mistakes I made.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it? You know? Of course, September Clues 2.0 will have to include the fake victims I don't say anything about the fake victims in September Clues.
Well, it's a big part of it.
Missing. That's a big part of it. Yeah.
All right. Sure. Well, we've been going for about 2.5 hours, and
Oh dear, yes.
That's don't know about you, but I get a little stiff when I'm sitting in one spot. I started this. This is a midday show for me, so that way you don't have to stay up past midnight. So this is unusual for me, and I have to go back out and do my slave job for a few more hours. I had a little
night. All right, but it was really great.
I had a good break
to you, on this special day, dear Ab.
No, really, it was fantastic. Grateful. I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful for Clues Forum, September Clues. There's 42 people watching September Clues on FakoTube right now that I can see.
Oh, nice.
So there are people maybe that never saw it for the first time, so hopefully this will help them understand who you are and what you're all about and how well you come across and seem like a pretty honest person to me. And not trying to deceive, you're trying to undeceive, which is great. And I'll also point out your research, tychos.info, tychos.info, which is a huge.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing now. I've been doing this for 7 or 8 years. And,
it's amazing.
I'm really, really excited about Tychos. It's really going ahead. Step by step, I'm really confirming all my initial thoughts about how the solar system really has to work. So, and we now have a simulator which works amazingly well with an incredible accuracy. The accuracy is related to all the empirical observations taken by astronomers for hundreds of years. So it's, you know, there is no other simulator that works. To make it very short, the simulators that we have of the Copernican system, they work within our solar system. I mean, the planets we have in our solar system kind of work, but not in relation to the stars. Whereas the Tychos have the planets facing the stars correctly. So it has to be the best theory of how our solar system really revolves around, you know, how it works.
Do you have some kind of meeting with anyone in academia? I think you were mentioning somebody invited you somewhere to discuss it.
Well, I've been, you know, I went in 2018. I went to the States. I went to America and presented it in a couple of universities and some other places.
But is something coming up for that too? You have something coming up to present? I thought you were going somewhere.
I'm probably going next time. I'm going back to Sweden because that's where I've had really some good vibes there. And I'm also preparing an Italian version, so I'm going to present it in Italy. Because Italy is, you know, Galileo was Italian, and Italy is very much into astronomy. And so I'm preparing, my next few years will be presenting the Tychos in various places in the world. So I'm extremely confident that it is the only possible configuration of our solar system. So, and my latest research this last 2 years have corroborated everything.
So okay.
It's, for anyone interested in astronomy, I really recommend, I mean, I really hope you will take some time looking at the Tychos. It's the book which I made in 2018 is freely readable on my website.
I really want to hear you do a talk with someone in an astronomy department somewhere that has some that only an astronomy student or professor has the interest level that you do. I can't challenge you because I don't have the interest level. But I really want to hear you talk or potentially butt heads with someone who thinks the Copernican model is the right model.
It's going to happen.
I need
sure.
to hear that. Every,
it's going to happen.
How many does every university have an astronomy department? Because I don't even know. Every major university?
I don't know either. But
because every one of them should be challenging you if you're right or wrong.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, this is the thing. The people in universities and people in astronomy are perhaps the most difficult people to reach out to. Because
why?
they are completely, you know, they have their, this imprinted idea of the sun being in the center and everyone revolving like in a
well, here they go.
Carousel.
I got a list here. In Canada, astronomy departments at Canadian universities, Athabasca University, it's physics and astronomy. It always starts with physics, by the way. Bishop's physics and astronomy. I'll give you some ones I know. Carleton in Ottawa, Department of Physics. Guelph, Department of Physics. McGill, which is a big one in Montreal, Department of Physics. Here's one, that St. Mary's University, which I believe is on the East Coast. It's Department of Astronomy and Physics. So at least they put astronomy first, which means they might have a chance. So why can't we get Toronto?
Look, you just said it. They're only talking about physics in astronomy. Physics. Newtonian formulas and Newtonian laws. And Keplerian laws. They're all interested just in physics, but geometry is the first thing we have to get right. Mm-hmm. If the geometry of the planets which we see going around us, if the geometry doesn't match observation, then we have to go back to the drawing board. And that's exactly what I'm saying. We have first to get the geometry right.
Right.
The geometry versus the perspective versus the possibility that planet is in front of that certain star. And that is completely, completely impossible in the Copernican system. Sometimes Mars faces a certain star whereas he couldn't. Let's not go there now because
it's a completely different
discussion.
Maybe I'll try and get someone.
It's not that difficult to. It's not that difficult to understand. I've had a 12-year-old boy here, the son of my friend Gloria.
Yeah.
He understood it immediately because I showed him here on the screen what I'm talking about. It's really not so complicated to understand what I've discovered. It's not so complicated. That's my message I want just to say now. It's not so complicated. Astronomy, they want you to think that astronomy is so complicated that no one is over my head.
Same with physics.
They want you to think that because it's false. The Copernican system is impossible, geometrically impossible.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try, maybe one day I will, and I'm not going to, I'll be quite impartial. So maybe I'll try and get you with somebody official that is teaching this stuff and see if they have any arguments that make any sense to me or you.
Please arrange any discussion with an astronomer. I will, I'm ready. I'm absolutely ready to confront anyone. Anyone.
Okay. I'll try. I'll work on that. I'm going to hire maybe my student who's not going to be going to the Indoctrination Center, and maybe she can learn how to book guests, and maybe we can do that. So we'll do that. We'll figure it out. It's
great.
Not my primary interest, but I like and trust you, so I know that it's your interest, so I'm pretty sure you could give them a good run for their money.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
why not?
We still have many years left to live, right? So let's plan for the future.
Well, if I can avoid the needle, I think I'll last a bit. I don't All like right. to think that way, but I also don't want to take my chances. Let's put it that way. I've really tried hard over the years to live a very organic, chemical, drug-free life. And why should I start now? I think it's a little late. I'd rather start with heroin or something that at least makes you feel good. Right?
I like to eat everything. I like variety in my diets.
Yeah.
I think it's important to eat everything, you know.
Yeah. But I don't like poison. You don't eat poison.
Not exaggerate with one thing or another. I mean, I eat vegetables, fruits, meat, eggs, fish. I think that's good for you. And I feel well.
Stuff that's natural that doesn't have a list of ingredients. That's the best way to go if you can do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll finish off. Maybe at the end I'll just play the actor in chief a little bit. The old actor in chief, the televangelist of 9/11. He actually, Donald Trump was involved with the 9/11 hoax, which is kind of funny to watch. A little compilation somebody did. So I'm going to play a little of that. And then, of course, I got to find it. And then I'll play a bit of some of your music from September Clues. It's still my favorite bunch of music. Niagara, Take a Break. It's still the best stuff.
All right.
And it brings me back to the very beginning when I found September Clues. I think that's probably what kept me watching September Clues as well. It was just a huge part of it.
Yeah, I mean, they were the really golden years of my band. We really,
you could tell.
Did some good stuff. Yeah.
You could tell the sound was just there. It was just, everything was grooving. I guess that's always what happens with the band.
Yeah, yeah. We're still playing, by the way, but, you know, hopefully we'll do something.
You're playing through Zoom or whatever, or do you get together in person, which would be the right thing. All right, well, good chat, and we will we can reconvene anytime. You're always welcome. We can always just talk about COVIDs or 9/11. It never gets old, never gets boring, so.
Nope.
If you have just one post that you'd like to discuss one day, we can take half an hour and just do it and be entertaining.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Fantastic.
All right, Simon.
Thanks, Ab.
Thanks so
much.
Thanks for joining. All the
Donald
best.
Donald Trump is on the line. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know him as the man behind lots of real estate in Manhattan. And, of course, Donald, I understand you were actually a witness to what happened this morning.
Well, I have a window that looks directly at the World Trade Center, and I saw this huge explosion.
But you, at this point, you cannot physically see any remnants of an airplane or anything such as that. Can you not?
Changing, and maybe you're going to have
Ed, are you still on the telephone with me?
What is the city of New York?
In a little while, and they've never done work like this before. Well, not only is it devastation, but it's very dangerous because every few minutes a whistle would go off and everybody would just run because you have all the buildings around it, which are in such a weakened state that people just don't know. And so they just have to take off. And then they come back and they're working under 50-story buildings that you don't know if they're going to fall down. So it's a terrible thing for the workers, and it's a terrible thing for the world, really. There probably are some more people in there, and therefore you can't get over.
Your eyes.
Most who saw
better.
And survived
a little
this day
bit taller,
still had
a
trouble
lot stronger,
believing what they saw.
Just
the phrase you heard over
better.
And over again was,
"Today we are deeply
it seemed
honored
just
to
like
be
a movie.
In the presence of more than 60 of these essential heroes. The answer to terror with the emotional strength of the true American warrior.
Like a movie.
With every 9/11 responder."
Nothing like that. It just went directly in, creating this sort of cavern-like hole. It reminds you of the worst kind of effects in movies that, you know, you're reassured watching a movie that it's an effect, but this is not.
Well, Mark, you and I are supposed to have a meeting not long from now. We'd prefer you to go and work the story, if you would, and call us back as soon
I will
as you
indeed.
Can. Many thanks. Mark Openhouse, one of our senior producers on the phone, who saw the incident, describes it as a large plane.